This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and Paul Dano collects teeth.
Hey, I'm Brandy Posey, and sir, you're a sock, not a mask. That's me doing my laundry. Welcome to quarantine, baby. I'm just talking to my clothes.
Sir, you have a lot of respect. That's the important part.
Sir. Exactly. I'm Tess Barker, and I've been living in LA so long, not only do I know the people in commercials, I also know the person who almost booked that commercial.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Welcome to the show. I think we're going to play the voicemail later. Someone left about what they think that the opening says, and I'm very excited about that.
Because it's riveting theory. Yeah.
It's a great one we haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening to this, that means that you should do one of two things. If you're a Patreon subscriber, we're doing a Patreon hangout tonight, the 31st. At 6 p.m. Pacific time. And we're just going to do like an hour long hang. So all the info will be on our Patreon thing. And then also we're going to do another Zoom show. It's been a while. So we're going to bring it back to Zoom on April 11th. We're going to hire some celebrity impersonators. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a whole thing.
We don't know which celebrities yet, but there will be celebrity impersonators. Yeah. So
we don't know which celebrities, but we do know there will be impersonators of them.
Are we only looking on Craigslist? Absolutely. So you know the quality will be top notch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very excited to bring you guys another Zoom show. It's been too long. We haven't done one yet this year, so we thought we should.
It's high time. No.
I can't even fucking think of what's going on.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, come check out all that stuff. We're excited about it. Almost as excited as having our guest on today.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. You can find her on The Wrong Missy on Netflix. She's a podcast called Newcomers, where her and Nicole Byer watch a new movie or series together. And then she has Threedom, another podcast with Paul F. Tompkins and Scott Aukerman. Lauren Lapkus.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being
Thank you.
Here.
You're a, like a podcast, like, is that what you're, is this what you're doing most of your time now, is sitting here on this microphone?
Yeah.
Barbara, you asked that like a dude nagging somebody. You're just like,
so is this like what you do like, with your time?
And then like, I just feel like I like was able to see in Lauren's eyes like the flash through of all the different sessions and all the uploading and
I'm just asking that because I think as comedy people, especially live performance comedy people, I don't think any of us expected this much time to be spent.
Oh my God, never. And I mean, I've spent far too many hours doing this, but also now in this pandemic, it's like Zoom doing this is like a different level. Like on some level, I kind of like it because I'm like, well, I just have to walk into this room and do this. And then on the other hand, I'm like, well, I don't see anyone except for when I'm doing podcasts. And like, it's not really hanging out, but it kind of feels like it. So it feels like some void, but not for real. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. We're getting like a mini void fill.
Yeah.
But not the whole thing.
It just feels like we're constantly like a foreign exchange student, like trying to talk to our family back home. It's like, I'm in a faraway country and I can't see you. And
exactly.
I feel like I have hit the threshold of like Zoom socializing. Like I'm done.
Yeah, I think I am too. I can't really do like a hangout on Zoom anymore, but I also don't do them in person. So it literally just means that I just don't see anyone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm really busy. I'm just, you know, sitting around. But it's kind of cool.
I don't know if you guys think if this is just like a getting older thing or a Zoom pandemic thing, but I am so tired no matter what I do. Like, I'm like, is there something wrong with me, or is this just being a human right now? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the problem is at a certain point, the coffee stops working.
Right. Yeah. Nothing's working anymore.
Right. No, and I think like, I don't know, like my schedule has changed so much, and that I used to like fill my days and be busy just going from thing to thing, just even just with driving from thing to thing would fill my day. And now I don't do anything. So that when I do one thing, I'm like, oh my God, like that was a lot. Like I was out for a walk the other day and a rollerblader like came up past me and I was like, ah! Like I don't like see enough people. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't have enough like surprises in that way where my brain is not used to like normal interactions. So it's very sad, I think.
So a lot of people have gotten on the roller skating kick. I attempted to get on the rollerblading kick and I gave up immediately.
Yeah, so what happened, Babs? Because we were so excited. You sent us the picture. They looked amazing.
I know.
So
did you just buy some rollerblades?
I bought them and then I put them on and then about 5 minutes later was like, they're going back right back where they came from. I forgot how much it hurts your ankles. I mean, these were also extremely cheap. Like they probably weren't supporting me in the correct way, but it's like painful. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to spend enough time to get to figure this out.
Did you rollerblade as a kid?
I did. Yeah. When I was younger. So I think it's one of those.
I remember doing that and it was so fun and freeing and I never really worried about anything. And then I feel like if I were to do that now, I'm like, it's just my whole body is taller. I can't, it feels farther to fall. It's scarier. It's
exactly.
You just know what's at risk more.
Yeah. It's not really a pastime for when you're aware of consequences. Also, Brandy and I both got into skating this year. We both kind of had like, we just did the skating renaissance thing. And what you don't really take into consideration is like how embarrassing it is.
Yeah.
Yes. It's extremely, because you're like, the Instagram videos, everyone's so good. Mm-hmm. They've got their little cha-cha slide dances and stuff. Meanwhile, you're just like, I'm on a basketball court and there's a child spinning next to me and I look like its grandmother.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. I went to like the back alley behind my house and was like, okay, we're going to try this out. And there were various people kind of like having outdoor things happening near me. Aware that there were perhaps eyes. And so I like pretty much got like 5 feet up the drive and I was in so much pain and like I was like clinging to the wall. So it was just I was like, the time it would take for me to get over the embarrassing time of learning how to be okay on this again is probably not worth it.
And I mean, truly, there's no, and I know this because I lived it this summer, there's no low point like wiping out on roller skates alone.
No. The getting back up, the clawing your way to something to pull yourself back up and hope that you don't fall again. And then even if you're completely alone, you can see no one.
Someone
moment
in their apartment was like, oh fuck.
Exactly. Yes. There's like a moment where you're like, I might believe in God because God just saw me do this. Like no one else is around, but somebody did. And I think
that makes so much sense. That private humiliation when like there's nobody around, but you still are embarrassed. Like, then there is God, because what am I feeling embarrassed about?
Totally.
Except there's nobody else.
Yeah, exactly. It's the one moment.
I feel like, you know how a lot of people are like, here's Instagram, but here's reality. That's what I'm not seeing on all these hot roller skating Instagrams is everyone falling on their ass.
I want like a Fleetwood Mac like track over people just biffing it. Yes. Basketball court.
I mean, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Just people wiping out left and right.
Yeah.
I mean, I could pretty easily make that. I will say I bought knee pads and wrist guards, and the first time I fell on them, there was a sense of freedom of just like, oh, it didn't hurt. Well, now I'll just throw myself everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's good, though, to totally wear all the pads. Because I think that's a scary part of it, is just the risk of just breaking something over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, we're so old, it's like, what? Then you're not going to be able to, you know, send your emails the next day.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's like something that could, you're going to have problems with the rest of your life now at this point. It's not just like I broke my wrist or something as a child.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
Yeah. And imagine going to like at the ER during COVID with a wrist that you broke roller skating. And then the
I'm sure lots of people did that.
Yeah. If you're a listener and you happen to do that, please let us know. And then also, what did anybody write on your cast? At what age can people still write on your cast as an adult, right?
Yeah.
You can still let that happen.
I think the problem is with quarantine, it's like only probably one person, like the doctor,
it's just like your partner,
your roommate, or your partner. Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, I guess I'll write, sign it again.
I'll use my left hand this time. Okay, so it looks like you have friends.
So, yeah, Lauren, tell us more about, so I know you guys are watching the Tyler Perry, you're starting Tyler Perry on Newcomers.
Yeah.
What have you done though? You've done Lord of the Rings and Star Wars?
Yeah, so we're watching stuff that we've never seen. And so the whole first season was Star Wars, which... there's a lot of Star Wars.
There's so much.
So much.
Yeah, I think like in my head, I'm still like, it's 3 movies. And you're like, no, it's like 12.
It's literally like 20. I mean, we did 20 episodes and maybe a couple weren't about a movie, but like, yeah, there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
And then for the second season, we did Lord of the Rings and there aren't that many movies. So then we were listening to like fucking... radio plays by like the end and we were like, I need to literally jump off my roof. I cannot do
if
this.
If you're not into that, man, that's
that could be a lot.
Did you read the books too or did you just
know
what
people talk to us about them a lot and
oh,
I think
yeah,
like
that'll happen.
And then I see comments online where it's like, God, they just, it's like, they hate it, but then they don't even know what's going on. Like, they're on their phone during it. I'm like, it's fucking 6 hours. I'm going to go on my phone. Like, yeah. I'm going to miss some of this.
Yeah, yeah,
so
for sure.
So we were, like, fighting to do Tyler Perry for the third season, because it's obviously not, like, nerd lore, but we were like, we've never seen it. We want to watch something else. Yeah. And we got to do it, and it's been, like, we're, like, 3 episodes in so far, and it's been so fun. The movies are just all over the place. Like, there's so many genres. We're both totally, like, paying attention. We said on this episode we just did today, we were like, I picked up my phone and I missed like how they got to that funeral, and then I rewound it because I didn't understand what was happening. Like, oh, we care. So like, kind of take it on like a new tone. And we're
that makes
life.
A lot of sense. Fantasy stuff, you're kind of like, whatever the fuck happened, fine, they travel. Yes. I don't need to see this.
I always refer to Lord of the Rings as some hobbits on a hike. Like, I don't know.
That's all it is.
Yeah,
I can now tell you
that. Yeah,
that's absolutely all of it.
Like, you can authoritatively say.
Mm-hmm. It is in real time. They travel from one end of the world to the other, and there's a few monsters and stuff, and then that's it. And there were parts that I liked. Of course, I liked one of the movies, and it was like the one everyone hated. So I was just like, I don't know. I can't.
Do you guys
can't
ever?
Win.
I'm like, I feel like I'm such a wuss when it comes to my opinions on stuff like that, because I feel like I'll be like, yeah, like that's the one I liked, and then I'll be like, okay, yeah, no, never mind, I didn't like it. It's so sad. Like, I
think like we were coming in pretty hard with like, this sucks, and then by the end of each episode the guest would kind of convince us that we did like it. So it was kind of this weird like mind game where we'd be like, I think it's not so bad. Like, okay, I did like that guy. Oh yeah, that guy was cool. Like, and then by the end you're like, okay, I think I actually like this one. Let's do the next one. And then you know it started all,
for sure,
all over again.
Well, all it takes is someone to be like, convince you that there was something you didn't get, and you're like,
yes.
Well, and I do think a lot with those movies too, like they're very like, they were very big like appointment viewing movies where it's like you saw it with people in the theater, so like you like, right. I mean, I saw all of them in the theater and like enjoyed them, but like I would never rewatch them now really, because it's like that time and place of enjoying it and the moment was great, and then like you talk to your friends afterwards, like I dressed up like a hobbit for the last one with a couple of my friends, thought it was funny, but then it's but
people
watching
have like
it,
fun. Parties
yeah, like watching it with your in your house like with like one person, it's like, okay, well that was 4 hours. And
totally.
Did you do the like the full cuts or like the original?
No, we did the slightly shorter versions that were still like,
well,
you know, coming
shorter.
In right under 3 hours.
Did you do any like the 70s animated movies?
Yes, we did. We did all that stuff. Those were kind of fun too,
they're
but they
like
were also
weird.
Kind of like weird. Yeah,
it was, they're really weird.
It was super weird, and because I didn't see it as a kid, like I'm totally into like watching shit that I liked as a kid and feeling nostalgic and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that connection with that, so you kind of just go like, "What the fuck? Like, this music's fucking weird." Like, all this.
Yeah, 70s and 80s shit. If you don't have an association with it as a child, it's very hard to watch it now and have any. be like, I can't do this. Like,
mm-hmm. It's so slow. Like, I think kids now like need it to be like all cracked out. So like it's, I can't even imagine.
Definitely. Did any of you guys ever watch the movie The Last Unicorn when you were kids?
Yes.
No, but I know that.
Yeah.
Like, I loved DVD, that movie.
Video cover or something.
Yeah. It's like of that same kind of, that like 70s like Hobbit style. I don't even, probably is by the same people, but I remember like I was really obsessed.
Too.
Yeah, it's very dark. I was obsessed with it. I remember like one of my very early birthdays at a sleepover and I was like, we're watching The Last Unicorn. And like none of my friends liked it at all. And they all just kind of like went to sleep. And I was like, well, it's my favorite movie. So I just watched it alone.
Don't you love that when die? You're like, my personality is about
this. Brandy, did the unicorn die?
I think
it's not like Never Ending Story. It's not like traumatic as that.
No, it's like she becomes like the unicorn is also a woman and like becomes it. But then it's been a long time. I think she like runs into the sea at the end to get like this fire bull to save.
I remember the fire bull.
The day. Yeah. It was very scary.
I will say I watched Never Ending Story like 2 weeks ago and it was a movie I watched as a child. I wasn't like obsessed with it, but it did hold up. It's still very good. Yeah. And it's creepy as fuck, you know.
It's all 80s
but
movies.
But also, there was a line in it. I looked it up. I'm going to quote. I'm sorry, but it's going to happen. I'm going to quote a line from this movie. But the super creepy wolf in it that shows up at the very end.
The nothingness,
end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the nothing.
I don't remember that, but it's called the nothingness?
Yeah, it's called the nothing and it's the thing that's destroying.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. It's like memories and it's right. So the wolf like is helping to helping the nothing destroy everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why do you want to like control everything? And the wolf said this thing that I was like, damn, wolf.
Oh my God, let's hear it.
It said, when it comes to controlling human beings, there's no better instrument than lies. Because you see, humans live by beliefs and beliefs can be manipulated. The power to manipulate beliefs is the only thing that counts. And I was like, what the fuck?
That's so intense.
It's like in a kid's movie. You're like, cool.
Cool. A scary dog.
Cool. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't remember being that intense of a message as a child, but
maybe there's
something to say.
Is the Never Ending Story a commentary on organized religion?
It could be.
Probably. It probably is. It's funny. I wonder if like that's like why our parents were like, no, they've got it. They'll just figure it out because like kids' movies we watched were like so intense and dropped truths like that on us. They're just like, no, they're 10. They know how to do taxes. The movie told them.
Yeah. We learned all about exactly wearing condoms and stuff like that for movies. So
I did learn about condoms from Salt and Pepper, and I remember watching MTV with my dad at my grandparents' house. And remember that video where she had the condom on her glasses or her eye?
No,
that's how I found out what condoms were. I was like,
wait. Oh, like left eye?
Left eye would like put a condom over
like
her eye.
Unused.
Yes.
Those pictures.
Like a monocle. Yeah,
like a used condom.
An open one.
No, so yeah, they were like a really big deal because they did that.
Why the fuck did she do that? No, yeah, where it's just like a circle.
Just like a slinky springing out.
That's memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, they had tons of outfits that just were like made of condoms because they were like super outspoken about kids like knowing about it and not getting STDs and stuff. So I guess it worked. Yeah,
I feel like I got like such a weird, like some of the first memories I have of stuff like that are like the movie Kids, where it's like so fucked up that you're like, we're not even supposed to be watching this. Like you like really know you're not supposed to watch it, and then it just sticks in your head.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's why Kids was so popular, because I watched Kids as an adult and it was, you know, predictably disturbing. Because I remember the first time I watched Kids, the kids were older than me. So like I didn't get the point they were trying to make. I was like, whoa, older kids are whack, man.
Yeah.
I know. I haven't watched it since I've been older than them. So that must be really gross.
Yeah. True to the title. They are kids.
Wow. It's a major part of the villainization of teenagers, where it's like before you're a teenager, when you're young, you're just like, oh my God, they're so scary. And then as you're a teenager, you're like, am I the thing that I used to be scared of? And then as an adult, you become scared of them again.
Yeah. Exactly. The cycle.
There's a documentary on Hulu called Kid 90 that like Soleil Moon Frye made. Have you seen this?
I want to. I just watched it. It's really good. Is it good?
Yeah. Ooh. It's really good. But she became friends with some of the kid actors or whatever, because she just like met them in New York, which feels like something that can't happen now. Like
she just saw them skateboarding and was like, we're friends now.
Yeah. I love really it. Cute. But I bet it works better though when you're Punky Brewster.
Probably.
Like
being
like, you're my yeah. friend. It's like, yeah, you're famous. Like, let's hang out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, she had this whole thing, like, spoiler alert, but she had this thing in the documentary about, I didn't know this, but she developed like super young, and then she got a breast reduction really young as well.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't like know any of. And I was just like, wow, that's so... I don't know. It just blew my mind as being somebody Same. With big boobs. And like, it was just like, whoa, I didn't know she had to do all this at such a young age just so she could like get roles, because that's all anyone looked at her as.
Yeah. Like when she was like developing, then people started casting her as just like the big titted girl runs over. Like she like only could get cast like that. Whoa. And then everyone was treating her differently because she seemed older than she was or whatever. They mm-hmm. just thought, you know, people are gross.
Whoa,
and then
yeah.
she got her breast reduction at like 16. But then that was like a huge news story.
Damn.
It's just like, yeah. I didn't know all that. And it was a big part of the movie because it's like a huge part of her like growing up was this like shift from like being the cute little kid to then like everyone treating you like that.
Man, that's so interesting too, because I had one maybe like 8 years ago now or something like that, and it's like, you know, I was 29, 30, somewhere around there, and like mm-hmm. it was very much a part, like I had lived as an adult with big boobs and like knew the reasons, like all the life reasons why I wanted to get rid of them, but it wasn't like a career decision of any kind.
Right.
Man.
That would be weird to be that young and like have to get plastic surgery for your career.
Which is yeah. crazy. They show it in a way where like you can see like how much she's developed, like how quickly. And
yeah.
She had like size G boobs oh my at like God. 15.
And she's yeah. not that tall either, right? She's
no,
pretty
they were,
no, she's
it,
tiny.
It was like very, you know, prominent. And yeah. so I think she was just like,
wow.
Yeah, like I can't do anything without people being obsessed with this. So
what a nightmare.
Yeah. It was cool though, because she was really outspoken about it and stuff, and just like tried to like talk about it to make sure people like, you know, knew mm-hmm. that it was a thing and that it was okay to like talk about, you know.
Yeah, like she went on talk shows at the time being like, yeah, I did this and this is why. And I mean, I think that's, I mean, you have to have so much confidence to like, for all of that, but like just to like,
oh, yeah.
have plastic surgery as a teen and talk openly about it and not feel like that's also like stigmatized. Like she just was like pushing.
Yeah,
all
it
that.
Really Seriously. Made me like her, because I knew Punky Brewster. I never like watched it a ton as a kid, but I really admired her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was all Same. In on Punky. Like that's what made me want Chuck Taylor's. Her room was so fucking cool. She had the best dog.
Do you know they're rebooting it?
They really? Are?
Yeah, and she's Ooh. Gonna be on it.
Oh, that's cool. Adorable.
Yeah. It looks cute. Like they showed a little bit of like her at the end and just the excitement of like being back with that. I think it's funny how we're doing like so many reboots now, like where it feels like everything is a reboot of something. But like
for sure,
every once in a while you're like, that one's going to be good though. Like I feel
yeah, that looks fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, she was like a cool, like totally realized like tomboyish, like female character on TV that like. I don't watch kids TV, so maybe there are some I don't know about, but like it just feels like I haven't seen that kind of character in the zeitgeist in such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't watch kids TV? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Is that for you? I only watch Nickelodeon, but
weird. All right, we're going to take a quick break, everybody. We'll be right back.
BRB. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Lauren Lapkus.
Yay. Hi.
And
I keep feeling like, by the way, I have to scoop my dress up so it doesn't look like I'm topless. I just want everyone to know.
Yes.
That'd
be
dressed.
So bold to just get on the Zoom and just be like, they can't see. I'm just naked.
That's how little fucks I have left.
Yeah. I'm taking a community college classes right now just to do it. And
That's
there have,
cool.
Yeah, there have been a couple of times where like I was like going to meet up with my boyfriend afterwards. And I've been like, all right, well, I'm listening, but I'm going to like take it. Like I just taken a shower and be like, okay, the video is off. The sound is off. And then I would just check it. But I was like listening to a lecture or whatever, and I'd just be like, okay, oh, go check again, go check again, go check again. Very paranoid.
It's scary if it just went on, like when you're in the middle of hanging yeah. out thinking you're not on camera.
Ooh.
I mean, like, do people leave their camera on in class, or does everyone just go off?
No, there's like usually three or four kids that have their cameras on. And then like their kids and dogs will come up and talk to them, and they don't mute themselves. And I'm like, oh, I think I'm like a professional Zoom person.
Yeah, like they just don't understand how it works.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. I did a Zoom audition like 2 weeks ago, and I had to come later, so I was with like a different group of people, and it was all old men and me. And the woman came on and was like trying to do the explanation, and all of the men couldn't mute themselves. She had to keep being like, Ronald, mute yourself. And like, he just kept talking and being like, is this the right light? How does this look? Does this look okay? And like, and then she got really overwhelmed because it'd been like a long day, and she was like, it's not working, I can't do this. And then like all these old guys gave her a pep talk, and it was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I was not expecting the story to end like that.
Me neither. I thought she'd be totally mean, because I feel like so often, like, was this for a commercial?
Yeah.
The commercial, like the people who are like running the session, they're not the casting director necessarily, but they're like the people who just explain how it works, and they can be so mean. Like when you're going in there, like they're like, everybody getting here, like, all right, it's gonna go like this. And if you have a question, like, you weren't listening. Like, they're like so abrupt and like cold. Like, I feel like Zoom either would make them get warmer or worse. Like, I can't. It feels like that was a nice interaction.
It was. Yeah. It was like, you could tell she was just at her wit's end for the day. And then like her Zoom stuff, whatever it was. But yeah. And then they were like, you're doing great. Like, keep it up. And one guy was like, this is my first time. And it was just this
We know, that's Ronald. Cute. We know.
But I just felt so, and I couldn't, I started laughing at one point because it was just such a mess. And she was like, thanks, Babs. I can see you're laughing. This is what I do all day.
That's nice.
Shout out to Ronald. Sorry, man.
That's amazing.
I hope he got it. You know what?
I have a question. Was she wearing a giant scarf in her home on Zoom? Because they love to wear a giant scarf in their offices.
She was like a casting assistant, so I think she was like in charge of the scarf.
Casting directors. She would have put it on the woman.
Yeah. They love a scarf and they love a shawl.
Yeah.
What is it? The air conditioning in the office, maybe?
Yeah, I feel like it's freezing in there. Mm-hmm. It's cozy to put on a big scarf, and it also gives you some sort of like power because like you're wearing a scarf inside.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you're also doing something no one knows how to do, which is wear a scarf.
To be fair, you probably were in a soap opera like in the 80s, so you might need to hide your identity if you go outside.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, let's play a game to get to know you better.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh my god.
I didn't make it up.
Oh my god, I can't. It's just like,
that's so random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So freaking random.
That's so random.
Now I'm raving.
Were you telling me right now? It's so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
My god.
Random.
I wonder if you... Okay, the name is That's a Random. Mm-hmm. If you couldn't guess that. So these are just random questions. Feel free to answer them however you like. Sorry, I'm reading them and talking at the same time. Okay, what invention doesn't get a lot of love but has greatly improved the world?
Oh. What doesn't get a lot of love? I feel like... Why was I going to say the phone? Like, everyone loves the phone.
I feel like people are anti-talking on the phone now, though.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, the phone part itself.
Yeah. What doesn't get a lot? I mean, I think maybe printers. Everyone talks shit about printers.
Did you just look at a printer?
I just looked at a printer. For sure. Like, I absolutely did. I was like, what's an invention? And then I was like, oh, there's one. But
I do think printers, like, I mean, yeah.
People hate printers. People love to shit on printers. And they're like, you can never get one that works. And like, they all, like, I mean, like, you just hear it every day. I feel like you see people just saying, like, I've never had a good one. You know what? When you do have a good one, which I do, I feel like mine is functioning and it does work with Wi-Fi. It's like a great thing to have. I use it a ton.
Shout out to my Epson XP4100.
I think you have to buy...
It's laziness. People don't want to buy the ink refills. You're exactly right, Babs. It's a laziness issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, frankly, and I say this as someone who has given up on a printer because I didn't want to buy ink for it. Like, but also, like, the ink is kind of expensive, I feel like.
Well, I feel like, not to like plug my printer, but like, It's like an HP something, and they send you the ink when you run out. Like, they know.
Oh,
it has,
I need
like
that.
Something.
Yeah, that's that tells pretty good.
Them. Oh, wow. So and we have to worry about our printers about listening in now.
Oh, it knows everything.
That's it's, okay.
So it's a freak. But
no, but I will say I am such a fan of the hard copy.
Yeah, yeah,
I love me too. Printed same. Shit. Like, I'm so tired of reading everything on a screen.
I know. I'm trying to like read more books always, but like to like look at, not be looking at my phone right before I go to bed, like just blinding myself and then mm-hmm. turning it off and trying to fall asleep, which is a waste.
That was something that earlier when I was being like, God, I'm exhausted all the time. And I was like, oh, I don't do any of those things that they tell you should do to like not be tired or to get better sleep. Maybe I should try one of those things, like not looking at my phone before I go to sleep or whatever.
Or whatever. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, but yeah. Like a physical copy of something just sticks in my brain a lot more too. I feel like same. When I read things on my computer, it's like, okay, I just read that. I don't need that information anymore. It's like, no.
Totally. Yeah, because it's all same. In one like place. So it kind of all gloms together in your yeah. head. Mm-hmm.
And I yeah. can get, you can give it more thought. Like, I actually feel, I don't know, as a kid, I like still love taking notes. Like, it's a good way for me to like retain information. But I always like doodling and stuff like that, or like just drawing my name in different cursive. And like, I kind of feel bad for kids now. It seems like most of them take notes on a laptop in like high school and college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're kind of missing out on the old
fashioned. I think so too. Also, like they don't teach kids cursive anymore, I don't think, which to me feels sad. But then I'm like, am I 100?
Right.
Why do I want them to know yeah. it? Like I want them to, but I'm like, if they don't need it, they don't need it. But God,
well,
it does feel
I think
weird.
What we really need to be concerned about is do kids still know how to draw the S thing?
Because if that is,
yeah, can you
if
do
that?
I
don't know about that, like mm-hmm. stuff has changed.
Yeah, but, that's yeah. a cultural like net necessity. And if that's not being taught to kids, then we should.
Oh
be
my
worried.
God, I'm gonna text my little half brothers a picture of that and be like, do you know what this is?
That's good.
Okay,
please get good research.
I'll report yeah. back.
It sounds back. Like a weird like murder mystery hint, like you're someone's like kidnapped Tess and they're like, do you know what this is?
Well, it's like with those videos where they give kids like a Walkman and they're like, what is this? Like, I don't know. I feel like that picture would probably make no sense to them.
I saw a tweet today that I don't know if this was irony or not, because I don't know who tweeted it, but it said, what is burning a CD? I was like, oh,
wow.
I bet you it wasn't ironic.
I don't think so.
I mean, I have not been able to burn a CD in probably like 6 or 7 years with anything I have
in
my house.
But wasn't that the best thing
yes.
ever?
Oh my
like,
God.
Like, that was absolutely. So exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It and was like, so cool.
And like my friend, we would like make a CD and then that would just be the only thing we listened to for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah, 100%. I definitely mm-hmm. still have a few mixes that I'm like, I would like to just like have you as like a file on my computer, because I don't.
You could probably do that.
Yeah, I could send it somewhere. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Well,
at home.
That's the thing. Yeah, computers don't have the CD thing anymore,
right.
So it's hard.
You have to.
I threw all mine out recently. I had them all in my car. I had like all the mixes that I've ever had from mm-hmm. high school to now, like in a Disc Logic, you know,
nice.
Thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would put them on every once in a while, because my old car had a CD player, and it was like, or maybe, I don't know if mine does now. I haven't even thought about it because I threw them all away, but mm-hmm. they all skip and everything, but I still like felt nostalgic. I was like, I want to keep them because they're like memories. And then eventually I was like, this is trash.
That's the hardest shit to get rid of, because you're like, mm-hmm. yeah, the odds of me, I might listen to this once in the next 50 years, maybe, if I somehow find the means to do it. So like, do I hold
on
to this?
And if I think of any song, I can play it right now. So like, I could think of any of the songs that I remember from the mixes and then just put them on a mix on Spotify and then I have it. Like, I don't
exactly.
know, but
no, but yeah, that I think because that was just such an important part of life at a certain period mm-hmm. of time. Like that CD book, like that really yeah. like, I remember being in like a friend's car or like a new friend's car
yeah.
or like someone you were like starting to like date or hang out with and like flipping through mm-hmm. their CDs. Like that was such a big indicator of like what kind of person they were.
Yes,
for sure. Absolutely.
I mean, I will say as someone who has a car with a CD player still, I've gotten some of your old CDs, Tess,
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
I've gotten
yay.
Some of my, yeah, I have some of my other, so I have random other people's mixes that like their sisters aww. Have made them and
that's so
that's
cute.
Fun.
I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't listen to them that much, but you know, sometimes in there it's fun, like on a long road trip to dig those out.
Well, it's like those CDs, like those, that's like when you're like figuring out your identity and like these artists are like who you are. Like it's like, when's the last time any of you guys like had found like a new favorite artist? Like, recently?
I feel like I've had a couple, but I don't explore their whole like discography like I would back mm-hmm. then. Like I'll like play a couple songs over and over and I'm like, I love these songs, but like
same.
I don't go through like their whole albums and like listen the whole way through.
I do yeah. a lot of, I do Apple Music instead of, so Spotify might have something similar, but like when you find a new artist or an artist that you're not familiar with, it has like a playlist called This Artist Essentials.
Yeah, it's the same.
Oh,
they have the same
yeah,
thing
yeah.
on Spotify.
So I'll yeah. start there and then like kind of, I will from there if I like a few songs and I'll try to find like the albums those are from, but I find those like roundups to be helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'll usually get like a new album or something. But yeah, it's usually not like I go back in their whole catalog. But I do remember when when The Weeknd came out with his like huge album a few years ago, and I bought the CD and was listening to it in my car and felt just like a funny
I
old lady.
Wow. Like, you went to like Barnes and Noble and you were like, yeah, I'll take this one.
I took out my old CD opener thing and
they really had so many accessories that you had to buy. It's like you get a CD. Oh, like it's a, literally just like a little razor that sliced yeah, it open. Like I think I can figure it out. But it was so cool to like have your little thing. I don't know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Such a satisfying yeah. feeling to rip the cellophane and then take out the yeah. liner notes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I do miss that.
Oh, well. Did any of you guys fall for like the Columbia House grift back in the day?
Fall for? No, I grifted them.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were fucking rolling in CDs and I don't think we paid a dime.
Exactly. I didn't pay anything. I never paid. I did it multiple times. They never came for me.
What the fuck? How did they do this?
How did that happen?
I think they were just like relying on moms actually paying. And I don't know what it was. Like, I have no idea how they did that.
Wait, you guys, were we accidentally responsible for the downfall of the music industry?
Yeah. We were all just stealing absolutely. CDs.
And it also feels like a cult somehow. Like, also something yes. else was going on there.
That was so fucking weird. It was like 100 CDs for a penny or something. And then, like, they would never even get the penny. Like, they just didn't care. They like, no. I mean, truly.
I mean, you weren't paying for shipping. You didn't pay jack shit because we were children and we didn't have credit cards. I don't right. know how it worked.
You would just, like, go, like, check the boxes of the ones you want, like, send it back, and then you'd get them. And it yes. was like, I had Jurassic Park soundtrack. I had Little Mermaid. I got all the movie soundtracks because I was a kid, and that's like what yeah. I wanted. I was like, I want to dance around a Jurassic Park theme. So.
I'm looking through their Wikipedia page very quickly, and there is one section called bankruptcy, which I'm not surprised by.
Man, think of the guy. There was obviously like some guy coked out of his mind who was like, I got it. Well, 99 cents.
So much cocaine.
Everything fell on that guy's back.
Wait a minute. What if it was like the plot of The Producers and like they were purposely failing so that they could go bankrupt and make money?
Oh, wow. That's interesting. It feels like the same thing as MoviePass was. Like, I didn't do MoviePass, but like, couldn't you go to like any movie forever?
You're right.
Like
it was
$5?
Like the Columbia House of, yeah.
Yeah. It was a really wild 6 months.
At first,
it
was a great deal. Yeah. You could see any movie anywhere for like $10 a month or something. Mm.
I remember, I don't know why I didn't join that because I love going to the movies, but I think just like you guys were stressing me out because you all were going to the movies like 5 times a day. And like all of my friends were like,
it's like a gym membership. Like it doesn't, I pay for it and then I stop going because there's something in me. Like,
I was just doing that instead of watching TV. I'd be like, oh, well, let's go watch a movie tonight instead. And like there was times I just go to the Americana and like, you know, I'd be like there for a while and then I would just buy a ticket if I was there for over an hour or I'd quote movie pass a ticket and then I'd get the free parking and then I'd just leave without even
seeing the system. Wow.
It was destined to fail pretty bad.
Yeah.
I remember they sent out like the last email we ever got from them had like a dog in a tie and it said business has been rough and it had all these dog puns and I was like, oh no, an executive is about to kill themselves.
Oh no.
God. Like why dog?
It was
like
right.
nothing to do with anything.
It was not the so mascot random. Of it all. We'd never seen this dog before, but it was a dog in a tie, just like, huh? Our business is about to end and we're gonna owe a lot of people like, a lot of money.
You could think of so many like movie puns you could do. Like, you know, the credits are rolling on Movie Pass, and it's like, oh, you know, it's there's things that are connected.
Like, things have gotten real. Desperate.
Yeah. That's a wrap on this racket.
Yeah, there you go. They needed us. This would be.
Yeah, yeah. Much we better. Single-handedly could have. That email that we would have written would have prevented them from collapse.
And truly, truly next a beautiful blaze of glory to go out in.
Call us. Okay, Lauren, let's ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lauren, if you were an office supply, which one would you be? And you can't choose printer. You can't choose printer.
No printer.
No printer. No printer ink. We know where your desk.
Okay, but that's what I would have said.
You can't look over there. You can't look over there.
Okay, I'm not going to look over here. Okay, but I did just see what I would be, and it's over here.
That's fair. I mean, you're at a desk.
I would either be. I have whimsical. Paper clips that look like cats and dogs.
Ooh,
and
nice.
I think that's what I would be like, or like a really smooth, good pen. But like, I feel like this is cute. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but it's just like,
very cute.
You know, like, and I don't ever paper clip anything together. So I just have these.
Yeah.
And I also have like lots of washi tape.
That's very cute.
I collect that. So I think those are the things I would want to be.
So functional and fun.
Do you think washi tape?
I put on when I'm sealing an envelope. I'll put a little washi tape on it.
Nice.
And then I use it. I use it all over the place. Actually, like weirdly, I feel like it comes into play a lot. Like I was just framing something and then I taped like the picture inside. But it's like it's more fun than real tape, and it feels less permanent. So you can put it on like a photograph and it won't ruin it. So I just like that, and I just think it's cute and it's fun for wrapping gifts.
Yeah.
What would you guys be?
Oh,
you look around,
turn the table.
I feel like I feel like stapler came to mind first, and I don't know why.
Yeah,
I think it's just because it's kind of like, you know, getting shit done.
Yeah,
I'd like to be the top of this little box that I have that I glued a taco to. But it just looks like it's just sitting there. But then if you go to pick it up, it's glued onto it. So
I
it's,
like
but
that.
Wait,
it's
Brandy, are we considering this an office supply?
I mean, it's a box that I have my post-it.
Like everyone knows it, what that is.
You know, the box with your taco glued on top.
Brandy just showed us a piece of wood with a taco on top of it. Brandy does shit differently in her office.
Things are crazy. It's for this box that has Claret and Post-its.
Wow. Okay, I get it.
Okay.
I love this system you have here.
Yeah. I just don't want things sitting all over the place. So I have a trick taco just sitting around.
So yeah, someone might come over and try to eat that, but then they pick it up and it's actually the top of a box. So it is a trick.
I glued it on there specifically. If somebody was like, oh, what's this taco? And then the lid came off. Just a little fun thing for me that nobody's ever done. Also, no one's ever picked up the taco. I've had
That's
it for
an important point.
You tried to recreate a mishap that you lived through by gluing the taco. Wow,
100%, 100%, and it's never worked. But you know, I'm hopeful. I'm actually an optimist. At the end of the day, someone's gonna pick up this taco, and then the whole lid's gonna come up, and I'm gonna be like, "Well, look what just happened."
Worth it.
I like this. This is like a very long, the version where somebody ties like a dollar bill to a string on the sidewalk, except for it's going to be a lot harder to get someone to come.
They're waiting years.
You know how many times you're looking at your friend's desks, you know?
Totally. And hungry.
Yeah.
And you eat clay.
Exactly.
All right, Tess. What are you?
Okay. My first thought, I'll just say it, was highlighter. I feel like a highlighter.
That's a good one. You feel like a highlighter to me. What do you think? Are you pink or yellow?
Yellow.
Yeah.
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 Think classic yellow highlighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sturdy. Yeah. Not. And you know, something that maybe you use either too much or too little of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If you use a lot of highlighter and you just highlighted the whole book and you're like, well, that was pointless.
That makes sense. What did you say, Babs? What did you say?
I said stapler. I don't really know if that jives or not, but it's just the first thing that came to mind. So I'm going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there when you need it. You don't always use it, but it's there. That's so sad.
Well, mine was like, I'm useless decoration. Like,
yeah. Okay, one more question. Okay. Let's see. If someone narrated your life, who would be the narrator? Who would you want to be the narrator?
I would say Amy Sedaris.
Mm. Ooh, oh my good God. Voice.
Perfect answer.
I like her voice.
Have you met her before?
I met her at a book signing when I was in college. I went to see her at Barnes & Noble, actually. I brought the book. I brought my book and I brought some Strangers with Candy DVDs. And I was like so nervous to meet her. And I waited forever in this long line. And then I finally got up there and like I said something like really awkward. Like she was like, you're tall. And then I said something like, I don't know what it was. And then she wrote "P on me" on my DVDs, and then that was it. And I was like,
"Oh my
That's
god,
the best day ever!" The best.
I think Amy Sedaris is the person I think of when I think of like who's the best at being famous. Like she's just so cute, and she does the most fun stuff. Yes. And like her rabbits and her cheese balls, and like,
oh my god, have you seen her home tour?
Her apartment.
Oh my
yes.
god.
Oh my gosh, there's it's
like
amazing.
It's online. There's like a nice YouTube video of like her apartment, and it's so cute and fun. And I love her videos on Instagram where she shows what's in her little drawers and boxes, and it's just
riveting.
Very delightful.
Riveting. Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Honestly,
Amy Sedaris would approve.
She would approve. She would really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We should probably get a hold of her and let her know. She might want to cover that. Also, like, I'm a huge David Sedaris fan, so like, I love like listening to his stories and hearing Amy pop up randomly. It's
yes. Mm-hmm. He has a really funny one about like their travels to Tokyo that are just hilarious, all about shopping. I think it was like a New Yorker piece or something initially, but just like they go shopping and buy like the weirdest things in Tokyo, like pants that are like enormous on them or just totally unflattering, but they like just can't stop. And it's really fun.
So cute.
Aww, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's like sibling goals.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someday. I don't know. Okay. We're gonna take another break. We'll be back in a second.
BRB.
Hey everybody, we're back in Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Lauren.
Hi everyone.
All right, we're going to do a lady problem. If you want to send us one, you can write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi there. First off, I just want to say you guys make me laugh all day long and give the best advice, especially for someone without a lot of women role models in their life. So thank you for that. I paint houses, so I have my headphones in all day, and so I'm so happy to have you guys in my ears all day long. My name is Bree, and in the past year, I've become part of a girl group. I've never experienced being part of such a large group of girls who chat all day long in a group chat and are planning trips in the future. It's been great having so many friends and fun things to look forward to, but no one warned me about the drama. Mm. My lady problem is that I'm having trouble choosing my wedding party for my upcoming wedding in May 2022. There's one girl in the group who's very hostile and makes jokes that can be mean towards the other girls. For example, making fun of our cute outfits or not being able to take a joke and saying the guys she hangs out with get their sense of humor better.
Ugh,
oh, God.
She makes comments on how our group is exclusive and no one else can be a part of it, like we're in her sorority or something. Mind you, I'm 24 and she's 29. She's constantly saying how she hates hanging out with girls and prefers hanging out with guys, but has to be included in everything that the girl group is a part of. I don't know if she's insecure around other girls and has to come off as better than everyone or is secretly trying to start a cult. But I would love to have the whole girl gang in my wedding. There are six of us, but I really don't know if I can handle any more drama she creates. I feel like I have to have all six or none of them to avoid conflict and feelings hurt. But at the same time, it's my day, so fuck it, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe I should just talk to her head on and tell her we don't appreciate the way she's been acting. I don't know what to do. I love all my friends, but everyone is slowly becoming less close because they are tired of her ruining all the good vibes we have. Sorry, this is long-winded. Thank you for reading this, and thank you for helping this non-confrontational girl out.
Wow. Well, my first thought is, if your wedding's in 2022, don't ask anyone until 2022. And that way your problem might be resolved by then.
Oh,
yeah. No, I think
like,
that's
you don't
a great
need
idea.
To be like celebrating with them leading up to the wedding for a year or more. Like, mm-hmm.
Right. It's in May. Change. It's in May 2022. So probably she has to ask by the end of the year. But still, you're right. It doesn't have to be now by any means.
Yeah. And I feel like I do understand that all or nothing feeling, like where you're like, okay, mm-hmm. if I ask three of them, it's going to go crazy in here. But
yeah,
but, I mean, my one suggestion would maybe be to, it sounds like she really wants to have the girls as her bridesmaids, but I was thinking like just doing like bridesmaids from your family or something, so that there's no feeling of competition, or just mm-hmm. like picking, I don't know, maybe one of them. And I don't know, like one of them plus like two family. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard when you want all of them except for this one person. It creates a harder thing.
Yeah. I mean, in this particular instance, I feel like definitely don't feel like you have to make this girl your bridesmaid, because like, I agree. Like, it is your day and she is going to cause some bullshit and you already know that ahead of time and it's not worth being nice. That said, I think it's time to extricate her from the group.
It does feel like that. It feels like, which is so funny because it's so funny because she's like, I didn't know about the drama. And we're like, you need to kick her out, bitch. It's over. But like, if everyone's annoyed, I do think now would be the time to broach that subject with her. And mm-hmm. then you have plenty of time, because if she works on it and gets better and it's more fun, then she could be a bridesmaid maybe by the time you actually are putting that all together. But what's probably going to happen is that she'll just be like, fuck you guys, I'm going to hang out with my dudes. And then your problem's kind of over.
Win-win. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so if they were going to extricate, do you guys think that this is like a slow fade, like a silently start a new group chat? Or what happens here?
I think it's just let her get mad at you guys. So I think it is like have a talking to about how she kind of sucks and then let her react accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe like you should start a side thing just to also make sure you guys are all on the same page and somebody isn't going to like be like, oh, I don't like the fighting and I'm going to sacrifice the group for the fighting. It's like you guys need to be standing in solidarity on this.
Do you know what? Like, I mean, I don't want to say that this has happened a ton of times in my life, but there have been a handful of times with groups over the years where like we have this problem we have to address. Mm-hmm. And then you decide to have a conversation and then like one person's like, I don't know. Like they act like it's like they haven't been a part of the conversation the whole time. Mm-hmm. You're like, you fucking said we need to talk about this. Like, now you're going to act like you don't know what's going on. So we all like assholes. Like it's so messy.
Yeah. It's really hard. I mean, no one likes confrontation. And obviously, no matter what this girl's doing, she's obviously living her own life and coming to it from whatever perspective she's coming from. So it's really hard to like tell someone like, hey, you know, like you're being shitty. You're being a shitty friend. You're not you're creating drama. How do you just tell someone that? Because she's only get it to get defensive. So it's kind of like, I don't really know how you approach somebody about the kind of issue. Like, I think that I think it would just kind of like start doing shit without her. But I mean, I guess but it's just like, I don't know if it's going to help, you know, but I guess you need to give her the chance at least.
Yeah, you'd have to like find a really nice angle to bring it up. Like, even if you were just kind of more innocent about it, like, do you really like hanging out with us? Because it feels like you always say you'd rather hang out with your guy friends. Like, it just feels like you don't really like hanging out with us. Like, not being like, we hate you because you're so annoying, but like coming at it like, I don't know if that you really enjoy this. It feels like we rub you the wrong way or something. And then like seeing where that goes. But it might just turn hostile, and maybe that'll just solve it too. But
yeah.
I mean, there's something kind of liberating for her in the fact that like, if it does turn hostile, then like, cool, that's the desired response in some ways. Like, it does. I feel like people like this, maybe she'll have some miraculous transformation, but probably better just to,
I mean, think of your wedding as the opportunity to
that's true.
Kicks her out.
You definitely don't want her in your wedding pictures forever.
No.
Like, you're gonna have this forever, and it's just like, you want to make sure the people that you have in there are people you really want to be with and that you really want to spend the day with. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do anyone any favors. And by the way, being in someone's wedding isn't always the best thing. Like, sometimes people are happy not to be asked, and maybe she'd be okay with that if she's like not a girly girl and doesn't really want to do all that bullshit.
That might be a good angle. Yeah. It's like, look, I just wanted to be sensitive to the fact that, no, you probably don't want to like do the whole dress thing and the mani-pedi thing. And
yeah.
And you know, someone that's going to be like judgy and like making fun of your clothes and your dress choices and something during this whole process. So it's like, no, I really like the idea of being like, hey, I don't know if you actually like us, and it's okay if you don't go do
What would you do if like, someone said that?
We get it. We get it, but we do like each other. So, like, you can go have a group chat with your guys and go see how that goes.
I would, for sure, like everyone has said, don't adjust anything about, like, your what you want for your wedding because of this person. So, do what you want. She's going to have to be an adult and deal with it if she doesn't get asked to be a bridesmaid. Like, and also, you're just going to have to, you know, stick that out.
She's 29. Like, this is like too old to be doing, to be acting like this girl. Mm-hmm. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
And the person who wrote is 24.
24.
Yeah. I mean, that's also a hard thing because you're choosing bridesmaids, I feel like, is such a big, like when you're younger getting married, it is like, are you going to, do you think you'll be friends with these people for a long time? Or do you think these are kind of like your group right now? Like, because that also changes so much.
Yeah. Like maybe that is an argument for choosing like a relative or someone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Because she does say, like, it's in the last year that they've all become friends. So,
Which, I mean, you can have these girls be part of all the pre festivities without them being bridesmaids.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing to think about. Like, if you wanted to include them and, like, make them a big part of the rehearsal dinner, and that girl could still be there and it wouldn't really affect anything.
Exactly.
Or, like, other activities that you're doing leading up to it.
Yeah. But if, like, you guys are all, like, not talking as much as you would like in this group chat because you, like, don't want to deal with her conflict and stuff, it's like that needs to be taken care of before any of the wedding stuff does. Yeah
You're like losing the fun of the group anyway.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it's time to clean house. Take the take this six pack down to a five.
Yeah Well, and you know, that is weirdly a good thing, you know, a silver lining to COVID right now is it's like all of our relationships are so digital only that it's like you can have this blow up and be like, well, and now we just started a separate group chat, and you know, if she doesn't stop, we can all block her, and then maybe we run into her over the summer when we can go back outside again, but that's a few months away, so we don't have to worry about it yet.
Exactly.
It's a good time to let some drama happen and let it blow over.
It really is.
Totally. Yeah. Pandemic baby, pandemic drama, just
do
let,
it
you
while
know.
You still have time. People are going back outside. Get this shit done.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, should we play the voicemail with the theory about our theme song?
Yes. Okay, I can't. Okay. I'm so excited about this. We've got this amazing voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, ladies. So I haven't been listening for a long time, but I have been listening for long enough to wonder where Anna and Courtney are. Okay, hear me out. Your theme song, right? This is kind of embarrassing. So I've been listening, and, you know, it says your names, Barbara, Brandy, Anna, Courtney, Tess, right? And I'm like, okay, well, where's Anna and Courtney? Maybe they quit. Maybe they were fired. So I was listening the other night before I went to bed, and I had a realization. Anna, Courtney, Anna Court, and of course. All right, that's all. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. And I'm just going to go be sad now because I thought Anna and Courtney were real people. Alrighty. Y'all have a great day.
Oh my God. Wait, I love that because I did not have any trouble understanding what was said in that song.
I have had people be a little unsure of what exactly is said there. But so the theme song, if you guys heard, goes Barbara, Brandy, and of course there's Tess. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm dying now that this girl thought that there was just two other women who we don't speak of.
We just never mentioned them. You're like, no. Look, they left. We can't make a new theme song. It's too much.
It's actually relevant to what we were talking about in our lady problem. Yeah. Like, we just took them off the group text, but we kept the song.
I mean,
yeah,
imagine.
It's fine.
Maybe that's what the lady problem could do. They could make a theme song for their group, but only put the five names in and then be like, we're going to debut it.
That's such a mean girl thing to do. Being like, this is about our friends and it doesn't have her in it.
And you send it on the chain and she's like, Wait, what? Oh my God, you're right. I guess you're not in it.
Yeah.
It's probably easier if you just get off the group text because now we have this theme song and you weren't mentioned.
But man, anytime anything goes wrong ever in the podcast now, I'm going to blame Anna and Courtney. I feel like we really have a fall person now.
That's great. Yeah.
Who do you think fucks up more, Anna or Courtney?
Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney. Yeah, Courtneys are messy and not all Courtneys, but like, I think every Courtney I have known, I'm like, some shit's gone down.
And Anna sounds like more pulled together than a Courtney. Mm-hmm. But prove me wrong, anyone. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, they both are messy in their own ways, but it just wasn't working out, really. Yeah.
Also, I love the idea of having a podcast with five women.
Five hosts.
Plus a guest.
That's going to be the messiest shit. It would be drama, for sure.
It really would be.
Oh, my God.
Drunk brunch to drunk brunch. That's the new show.
We have enough, we have enough reviews where people are like, I can't handle the cackling that I'm good.
I know.
We don't need two extra voices.
I know.
Anytime anyone complains on our reviews, I'm going to blame it on Anna and Courtney.
That's
By the way,
so
if you
good.
Haven't left us a review, please
do
leave
it.
One
we could use
if
it.
If you like
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Leave a nice one. Maybe compliment our laughs and how fun and yes. free and flirty they are. We appreciate that. You know, when you say that you don't like our cackling, it feels very gendered. That's cool, though.
But also, like, I say that, but there's no other word for what that is.
Well, yeah,
it is true. Yeah. I mean, I understand that it does describe what's going on, but
for sure.
I still am offended.
But I also I know men with that laugh, and I don't think their laughs have ever been described as cackles.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it's definitely feminine to say, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're cackling. No yeah. man has ever cackled.
No.
I wish they would. Yeah. Honestly, if you're a guy and you want to try cackling, maybe send us a voice
note. I would love that.
Leave a voice note with you cackling.
Just you cackling.
323.
You're gonna get the creepiest fucking voice.
Yeah, we are.
323-6-butt-30. Just leave us a cackle if you're a male listener. We'd love to hear a cackle. We'll play a cackle compilation.
A gaggle of cackles.
A gaggle of cackles. Play.
Yeah. That was our alternate name for Lady to Lady. But
a gaggle of cackles.
Well, Lauren, thanks for doing the show. So fun to hang out with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was great.
Tell everybody where they can find you online, where they can find all your stuff.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Lauren Lapkus and listen to Newcomers and Threedom. And I'm on Good Girls right now on NBC if you want to watch that. That's what's going on.
Hell yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And Stitcher Premium and Patreon folks will be over there. We have our Beef of the Week coming up on Friday, so check that out. And we'll see you guys next time. And also, yeah, tonight, don't forget, Patreon people, we're doing a hangout, so we'll have all the information on Patreon, so go check it out there.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. 3, 2, 3, 6, but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, my name is Ashley from Oregon, and I just wanted to call in, and I wanted to say thank you all so much for making my Wednesday mornings super awesome. I have decided in the last 2 months to go to therapy, and my therapy appointments are every Wednesday at 9 a.m., and it's about a 30-minute drive from my house. So on my drive there, I get to listen to you lovely ladies, and on my drive home, I get to finish what I started. So I just wanted to thank you guys. I love your podcast. I found you through the Exactly Right Network, and I have gone through and listened to tons and tons of episodes. I just definitely needed a breath of fresh air and some comedy in my life right now, considering it is March 3rd, and I realize that it's 1 week. 1 week last year was like, this is our last week of normalcy before the before times, which I also have stolen from tests. Anyway, have a great rest of your day. Love you guys. Thank you so much for making me laugh and making my Wednesday morning so awesome. Bye.